so much of God for bringing us here to this place. We know, God, that your words are powerful and effective. Lord, let your word minister to our hearts. Let your word speak to us, O God, in a way that you have spoken to Adam and Eve when you spoke to them about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Lord, may we take heed on what your word is saying. And Lord, this morning we come together before you, asking for your strength, asking for your wisdom, asking for your guidance, and asking, oh God, that we, Lord God, hear from you. Lord, we commit ourselves to you, even as we continue our study on the next level relationships. Lord, may you reveal to us, oh God, in our hearts, in our minds, the reason why we hide, and the reason why our relationships, oh God, are broken. And Lord, this morning we just commit ourselves to you. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we started the series, Next Level Relationships, last week. So if you missed that message, let me give you a quick review of what we studied last week. Okay, one of the things that we talked about last week is the fact that all of us, every one of us, whether you are young or old, or whether you are a Christian or not, we all have a God-shaped hole. Okay, so we have a God-shaped hole. And everyone needs to be filled with God in order for us to be whole, in order for us to be satisfied in our life as a human being. So we have a God-shaped hole, and that hole needs to be filled with God. And when that hole is not filled with God, what we do, what we usually do, is we suck things from the world and from the people around us. Okay, so we learn that there are so many things around the world that tries to fill that hole. It could be accomplishments, it could be anything or anyone that would try to fill that hole that we are looking for, because our hearts is not filled with God's love. And we also learn that in order for that hole to be filled, we need to have a vertical relationship with God. In other words, we need to have a deep relationship with God so that we can have a deep relationship with one another. It means that God should be the center and the source of that love that we need in order to love God and to love other people around us. So that's what we studied last week. Okay, so we studied that we need a God-shaped whole field with God's love in order to love others, even as we love God. Today we're going to look at the next level in our relationship, which is moving deeper. In other words, how do we make our relationship with one another deeper than our present relationship with other people? So how do we move deeper in our relationships? I believe the answer to that, and I believe many of you know that, but sometimes we have so much difficulty doing that, and that is to express more vulnerability or openness or honesty with our relationships. So what we need in order to move deeper, in order to move deeper in our relationship with God, is to be more vulnerable and more authentic in our relationship with God and with one another. So what is vulnerability? So how do you define the word vulnerability? Well, one of the authors studying this word is Brené Brown. I don't know if you read or heard Brené Brown, but she's one of the person who is studying this, especially when it comes to relationships. And she defines vulnerability as uncertainty, as risk, and emotional exposure. What she means by that is when you are vulnerable, when you are open, when you are exposed, you show your true selves, or you reveal the things that would that you would rather hide, and that you open yourselves to judgment and shame. So that is the definition of being vulnerable. It means that you show your true selves, reveal the things that you would rather hide, and open yourselves to judgment and shame. And to be true to yourself and to others is the hardest thing. Many of us would rather hide what we feel inside or who we are rather than expose ourselves to shame and guilt and judgment. Amen? We would rather be isolated and not exposed to people because we don't want to be judged. We don't want people to judge us. We don't want people to know what we really feel inside of us, so we tend to be isolated rather than vulnerable. You know, one of the famous Christian singer, Francesca Battistelli, wrote this song, "If We Are Honest," and look at the lyrics. And the lyrics tells us about the difficulty of being truthful, of being honest. And this is what she said. Truth is harder than lying. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I am a mess, and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yet, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, is bring your brokenness, and I will bring mine, cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy is waiting on the other side, if we are honest. Amen? How true. But naturally, that is something that we all avoid. We don't want to be exposed. Amen? We don't want to be vulnerable. But you know what? The only way to authenticity is through vulnerability. The only way we can have a breakthrough in our relationship with God, in our relationship with one another, is that we become vulnerable. You know, vulnerability is the courage to look imperfect, because we are. Amen? We are imperfect. We're not perfect. And there's something inside of us that needs to be exposed in order to be healed. Amen? And to most of us, this is not good news. Amen? This is not good news to most of us because vulnerability looks to most of us like being called on a meeting and having no idea what they will talk about. Have you been called to a meeting and you don't know what they will talk about? How when someone called you or put you aside and say, I will talk to you. Amen? It's like having to say we're sorry for the screw up that we have done. It is when we reveal a secret that we have been hiding for years and we feel naked. And I believe none of us like it. That's why it's understandable that we hide in our relationships. And I believe many of us hide in many ways. You know, we don't want other people to know who we are, or what we're thinking, or what we're feeling inside. So we try to hide our real self from people. So my question is, how do we hide? There are many ways people hide. Many people hide by asking questions, by getting the other person to talk so that they don't have to talk, so that they don't have to know you. How many of you are like that? You would rather have some people talk, because when they talk, you don't have to talk, because all they need, all that you do is just listen to them. And others hide behind humor, or machismo, or perfection, or beauty, or many other things that we can think of. But I believe the reason for hiding is much more deeper than that. If we want to be set free from hiding, if we want to be set free from being isolated, from keeping yourself to be known by others, we need to understand why we hide. And that's what we're going to look at today. What is the reason why people like you and me hide? Well, the first reason I would say is we hide because of the effects of the fall. You know, if you look at what happened to Adam and Eve, before they hide, the Bible says they were both naked and they felt no shame. Let's look back in Genesis 2:25 and read the scripture again. Adam and his wife, the Bible says, were both naked and they felt no shame. So this is how God created man and woman, to be naked, meaning to be vulnerable and not be shameful about being naked, about being exposed. I'm not just talking about physical nakedness, about being open, being honest with one another. But before that happens, before they sinned against God, they were naked and felt no shame, meaning they were vulnerable and not shameful about being exposed, but being vulnerable. And you know what happened after that? After they sinned against God, and there came the fall. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, the scripture that we just read, the serpent came and tricked them with lies. And we know what the serpent said to Adam and to Eve. He put doubt in the heart of Adam and Eve and said, did God really say, you shall not eat of the tree in the tree of good and evil? You know, the word crafty, you know, the Bible says the serpent was crafty, is the same word used for the word naked. The word naked is actually the word arum in Hebrew. And the word arum in Hebrew is also the same word, prapti, that was used to describe the serpent. What do you mean by that? Well, it means that being vulnerable or being exposed or being honest about yourself is the same way that the devil did to Adam and Eve by tricking them to hide their vulnerability. What I mean by that is when Adam and Eve ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. And from that time, they begin to hide. And hiding is a sign of being changed. You know, when do we hide? When do we usually hide? We hide when we are ashamed of what we do, or what we did. And shame comes from an awareness of our being exposed. And this is what happened to Adam and Eve when they were exposed, when they became exposed because of what they did, they tried to hide. Because they don't want to be exposed. So they tried to hide because they were shamed. Now what happens when we experience things like this in our life? So what happened to Adam and Eve after they sinned against God? I believe this is also what happened to all of us, to all men and women in this world, because of the effects of the fall. I believe these are four dimensions or four main aspects of the fall. And I believe this applies to all of us because in the same way that Adam and Eve sinned against God, we are still sinning. We are still, you know, we live in this world and we experience what they experienced during this time when they fell or when they fall because of their sin. So what are the four main aspects of the fall? This is that what happened when they disobeyed God. Well, the first thing that happened is they believed the lie. And do you know that sin is believing the lie of the enemy? Whenever we sin, we believe the lie of the enemy. Sin is actually defined as unbelief. And we usually sin against God when we don't believe what He says in His Word. And that is what happened to Eve and to Adam. They did not believe God's word, and so they did not obey, and they did not follow God's commandment to them. So they believed the lie. That is also what will happen to you when you believe the lie of the devil rather than the truth of God's word. So what happened when they lied? When they lied, once they disobeyed God, because they did not trust God or surrender to God, their God-shaped hole stopped receiving the love of God, and so they begin to feel that hunger in their hearts. And that is also what will happen to you. You know, when you disobey God, you feel that hunger in your heart to receive love from God. And because you know that you have disobeyed God, you want to fill that hole with the things and people in this world. So what we do is we attempt to fill that hunger by grabbing work from outside of ourselves. And so what we do usually is we try to perform and show the world a false self. So after we lie, what happens is we begin to do things that are considered idolatrous. We begin to try to perform to feel the hunger and thirst in our hearts in order to be accepted and loved because we have disobeyed God. So after the lie comes idolatrous performance. And then after that comes hiding. Adam and Eve became aware of their nakedness. And because they became aware of their nakedness, they hid and blamed others. We call this the Adamic syndrome. What happened is when they sinned against God and they believed the lie and became idolatrous, meaning they worshipped the things outside of God, by their performance, they begin to hide. Not only they begin to hide, they begin to blame one another. Adam began to blame Eve. He said, "That woman that you gave me, isn't that what we do when we sin against God? We blame others for our failures. We blame other people or other circumstances or things that did not work or will not work for us, and so we blame other people." So Adam blames Eve, and then Eve blames the serpent. Amen?
Amen.
And not only lying and performance and hiding will become part of your life, the last element of the fall is called death. Of course, I'm not just talking about physical death, I'm talking about slow death, because our soul is not well. When we begin to lie to God, and begin to perform to try to please God, we hide and blame one another, and it leads to spiritual death. Not only physical death, but spiritual and emotional death. It begins to affect you or affect your life so that you don't have the peace of God. And this is what the world experiences today. Amen. And this is what we experience every day if we believe the lie of the enemy and we begin to try to fill that hole by the things that we do and by the things that we say. And then we begin to hide and blame others. And then it leads to death, either spiritual death or physical death or emotional brokenness in our lives. But the good news of the matter is that the story did not end there. Amen? The story of Adam and Eve did not end with their fall. It did not end in the Garden of Eden. Amen? It did not end with them sinning against God and dying because of their sin. Amen? Because Jesus came to the picture. That is the good news. Amen? The good news, the gospel that we believe, because Jesus Christ came to set us free. Amen? There may be a consequence of the sin that we did, which is believing the lie. But there is a good news. And the good news is that Jesus will will set you free. So how will Jesus set you and I free? I believe the only way you can be set free is by being vulnerable with God. To be vulnerable with God means you are open to God and you begin to trust Him and surrender your life to Him, because the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And I believe if you believe in Jesus, if you trust Him and surrender yourself to Him, there are four equal and opposite dimensions that will happen to you because of your salvation in Jesus Christ. What are those four equal and opposite dimensions of salvation? Number one, if you believe in Jesus, if you trust in Him and surrender your life to Him, this is what will happen. Truth will dispel the lies of the enemy. When you begin to believe in Jesus, the truth, the Bible says, the truth will set you free. When you begin to fix your eyes on Jesus, it dispels the lies of the enemy that are constantly barraging you, that are constantly trying to put doubt and unbelief and worry and fear in your heart. Bible says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. When we begin to change our mind with the Word of God, when we begin to meditate God's Word, the truth of God's Word, instead of the lies of the enemy, we begin to change those lies. Because truth will always dispel the lie of the enemy. Amen? You know, lies cannot coexist with the truth. So if you have the truth, the Bible says He's the way, the truth, and the life, then you can dispel any lie from the enemy. Not only the truth will dispel the lie of the enemy, the Bible says, grace, my grace is sufficient for you. Not only will truth dispel the lie of the enemy, grace, the unmerited favor of God, will dispel your idolatrous performance. You know, we try to please God by the things that we do, by the things that we say, but grace says, you don't have to do those things. I have done everything for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Remember when Paul was praying that God would take away the sickness from his body, Jesus revealed to him that His grace is sufficient for him. You know, we don't need to perform in order to be accepted by God. We don't have to do anything in order to be accepted and to be loved by God. All you need to do is to respond to Him in faith and say, God, I cannot save myself. Lord, I cannot change myself. Lord, I cannot do these things apart from you. We don't need to suck life out of the people and things around us, because Jesus is the only one who can fill that God-shaped hole in our hearts. So grace dispels performance. And then another thing is, if you are hiding because you are ashamed, being vulnerable dispels hiding. You know, when we try to hide, when we try to be isolated, when we try to hide, you know, ourselves from God and from others, we're not going to be healed. But when we begin to drop the mask and take the risk of exposing our true selves to others, we begin to be vulnerable. We begin to be open, begin to be honest with others and to God. You know what God will do? And you begin to expose and become honest to Him and to others. People will send you, or God will send you people who will love you and accept you for who you are. God will use people to love you and accept you for who you are. And the only way we can be connected to other people and to God is by being vulnerable. The only on-ramp to connectedness is by being vulnerable, being open, being honest. And we can only have a deep and meaningful relationship with others if we are vulnerable. And we know that's hard to do. But with God's help, I believe God will help us become vulnerable. And not only does grace dispel performance, truth dispels the lie of the enemy, and vulnerability dispels hiding. Life and boldness. The life that God gives to everyone who believes on Him dispels death. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly." You know, when Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, you have nothing to fear. When our deepest hunger, our longing for love, and the longing comes from God, this world cannot hurt us. When we give ourselves to God and to others, even though we are flawed, we are fearful and weak, knowing that God loves us and accepts us for who we are, we can face any problem or any trouble in this world. My question is, how can we live out this freedom every day? How can we get to that point where we become vulnerable and open not only to God but to others? How can we develop that courage to be vulnerable? Just like what I said earlier, we need to be vulnerable with God first. James chapter 5, verse 13 tells us how to be vulnerable, how to be honest and open before God and before others. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Is anyone of you or anyone among you in trouble?" He says, "Let them pray." "Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer over the faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." So how do we become brotherly? How do we become honest before God and before others? The first thing to do is to be vulnerable before God. The Bible says, "Is anyone of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." Do you know that prayer, the Bible says prayer brings tremendous results. Amen. If you are in trouble, if you are in any need, whatever that need is, when you pray, things begin to happen. If you believe in the power of prayer, I believe in the power of prayer, in the power of praise, in the power of praising and worshiping God. Nothing is impossible. There is nothing that God cannot handle in your life. Is there pain in your life? Is there question in your life? Is there fear and brokenness in your life? God can handle any situation in your life. Amen? But sometimes that is not enough. Sometimes being alone with God, praying and asking God to do something is not enough. We need other people to help us as well. Why do you think God has given you the church? Why do you think God has given you the community? That is when you need help. But sometimes we don't ask for help from others. We just keep it to ourselves and don't do anything to help us, whatever we are going through. But I believe God wants you to get help. So after you become vulnerable with God, the next thing to do is to find people who are saved. What do I mean by finding people who are saved? Well, you cannot share everything to every person in this world. Amen? Find people who are saved. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make that person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, to each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Remember what the scripture says. If we confess our sins to one another and pray for each other, then we will be healed. And the reason for that is because the Bible says the prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman is powerful and effective. Just like what I said earlier, don't be an open book to everyone you meet. Because not everyone can handle your brokenness and not everyone is worthy to know about your brokenness. So who are the people that you're going to help today? I believe those people who are not just able to listen to you, but people who are able to empathize with you. Those are saved people. People who you know will not only keep your secrets, but will continue to pray for you and understand you, not judge you, but empathize with you and pray for you and with you. But sometimes it's not enough just to ask help from others and become vulnerable with God. We also need to be vulnerable with ourselves. What I mean by that is we need to give ourselves permission to hurt. Meaning you have to tell yourself that you don't have it all together and you can only be vulnerable because you have Jesus in your life. Because it is important that we learn to love ourselves too. That we need to learn to accept ourselves so that we can begin to accept others. Remember, as long as you are in this earth, you will never, never, never arrive. How many of you know that? You will always be looking through pain. And you will always be looking through sufferings. I love what C.S. Lewis said, what he said about this. He said, to love is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrong and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it, say, in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, careless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable, So what does he mean by that? My brothers, my friends, to love is to be vulnerable. What it means is we can never live our life without being vulnerable. Life is not possible without being vulnerable. Because if we are not vulnerable, we are living our lives. And God is calling us to be vulnerable to Him and to others. Sometimes it is the hardest thing to do, but it is the bravest thing that we can ever accomplish. And being vulnerable goes against our culture. Just as Lewis said, we will get hurt. But if we don't allow for that possibility, we will become unbreakable. In other words, we will become lovers, incapable of experiencing the love or joy God intended us to experience. So the only way we can be vulnerable with God and with others is by allowing God to work in your heart, to work in my heart, so that you begin to open up yourself and open up your heart to God and to others. But it starts with being vulnerable with God. And if you are vulnerable with God, you begin to be vulnerable with others. You begin to find people who are safe, who are not only able to understand you and empathize with you, but you also need to be vulnerable with yourself. Because that is the only way we can be vulnerable with God. Even by being vulnerable with others. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the challenge today. Lord, we know it's hard to be vulnerable, to be honest, to be open to others. But that is the only way we can connect with others. That is the only way we can connect with you and with others. And so help us to be honest, to be open, to be vulnerable with you and with others. Lord, we thank you that by being vulnerable with you, we can become vulnerable with others and with ourselves. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.